This is a summary of a shiur, which Rav Lichtenstein delivered Parshas Naso, about 20 years ago, so I'll make it around to 1998. I apologize, I'm having some voice issues, so if my voice is a little bit weak for some of these shiurim, I just didn't want to let some of these ideas go unattended to. This is an example of a shiur in which I don't think Rav Lichtenstein's idea is inherently revolutionary. There's nothing breathtaking or surprising about the idea. What's fascinating about this shiur is the very, very comprehensive and creative ways that he applied the idea. So it's a very simple and commonplace idea, but just the mere breadth and diversity of manners of application gives a certain life and tensility to the idea. And second of all, as I've said so often, Rav Lichtenstein rarely deliver the types of Tanakh shiurim that are often associated with the Gush Yeshiva, with Herzog Institute, large sections of Tanakh, comparing Svarim, comparing large Prakim, looking at parallel presentations. His shiurim were more in the spirit of Chazal, looking at words, letters, phrases, a few psukim. But he did that globally, and he would take a word, and he would highlight its parallel appearances and iterations in different locations and try to underscore some of the nuanced differences. So in this shiur, he discussed Parshas Naso, why the Torah chooses that verb of tifkod. Why is that the verb to count the Jewish people? The two verbs that are most dominant in Parshas Bamidbar and Naso are, of course, Naso, and a lot of people have spoken about the connotations of elevation and ennobling that are accompanying counting, but also the word tifkod. Why is that the word of choice in many of these parshas, and of course in Parshas Naso? Naso is Rosh B'nei Gershom, mi ben shloshim shana v'mala, ad ben chamishim shana tifkod osam. So Rav Lichtenstein quoted a very, very well-known series of psukim in which the exact same verb is utilized, but to the naked eye, to the casual observer, it's utilized in a totally different context, for a totally different purpose, yet Rav Lichtenstein twinned the two. And that was really the thesis of this shiur. Hashem pakad esara. Pakod yifkod elokim eschem. Pakod pakadati eschem. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers Sarah and the promises and the guarantees he offered Avraham, or Hashem remembers the plight of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, or of course, in a very, very harmful or penal fashion, uviyom pakti ufakadati aleim chatasam al kein efkod alechem es kolavon osechem, as Amos says in Paragimel. So in these instances, the same three-letter verb, pe gimel dalet, is utilized for, in particular, HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember, but not just to remember, but that memory enables or catalyzes a certain relationship, intervention, bond, and of course adjustment, whether it's to give children to Sarah, to redeem the Jewish people, or the threat or the promise that Hashem delivers after the Egel, that on a day that I remember, I'll remember and of course punish you to a degree for the Egel v'yom pakti ufakadati aleim chatasam. So ultimately, the word pakad in those contexts means a remembrance that reflects as well as deepens a relationship. And for Rav Lichtenstein, that's the purpose of the word pakod when used to count. Because the danger of counting is that it dehumanizes and that it renders people as statistics and it depersonalizes. And one of the dangers of the modern world and one of the dangers of the modern field of statistics. Statistics is this is of course me editorializing, but statistics is a relatively modern science and is absolutely necessary and vital to predict human trends and to take censuses and to develop large public policies to manage large populations, which are living in larger concentration than ever before. But one of the dangers of statistics is it creates a very predeterministic world in which people feel that there are certain trends and those trends become self-fulfilling. And the other danger is that people become depersonalized and there's just a number, and how do you manage populations and communities and markets and consumers, and you lose the ability to treat people on an individual basis. So counting, even in a more ancient society, runs the risk of creating statistics and depersonalization. And by using a term that's so often associated in Tanakh with remembrance that yields a relationship and, of course, a response based on that relationship, either an award and a benefit or chas v'shalom, a punishment, the Torah is preventing the type of depersonalization that counting can invite. Interestingly enough, during this sicha, Rav Lichtenstein quoted Rav Amital. I don't remember him often quoting. He would, of course, mention Rav Amital, but he actually quoted something Rav Amital said. Rav Amital would always quote the pasuk in Yeshaya. He quoted a lot when he spoke in Shmos, when the first pasuk describes Elish Shmos b'nei Yisrael abayim Mitzrayim, so it emphasizes their names, and names are much more personal. And even though they were becoming a population now, they still had specific names and specific functions. And the Medrash talks about the fact that Am Yisrael were like stars, and each star, on the one hand, is part of a larger tally of a constellation, but each star is its own system and its own planet. So Rav Lichtenstein quoted Rav Amital, who spoke about a pasuk in Yeshaya, Hamotzi b'mispar tzva'am l'chulam b'shem yikra. And the first part of the pasuk describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu collecting the stars b'mispar, and mispar is counting, and counting, of course, when you count, you de-individualize each star. But then by naming them, all of a sudden, you are creating individuality, individualism. And we say this in our davening every day, Mona Mispar La Kochavim, L'chulam Shem Musikra. And Hashem counts the stars, but also allocates names, and each one becomes the center of its own universe. So, again, this is not an unusually revolutionary idea. The desire to create a counting system that doesn't depersonalize human beings, and others have spoken about the Machzis HaShekel, or the avoiding counting people by head to avoid turning human beings into numbers and figures. But the fact that Rav Lichtenstein helped us associate the term Tifkod with the term Pakad Asara, I think on the one hand created an interconnectivity that wasn't obvious to us, and on the other hand gave us the language. It wasn't just creating personalization, but creating a relationship, in this case a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as each of them is counted. But he then extended this concept to two other employments of the term pakad. Number one, in Perek Daled, the Torah talks about the word tifkod when counting the Klei HaMikdash. So these are objects. And objects certainly have no personality. They're not animated. But yet, specifically, objects of the Beis HaMikdash, they're not just empty, sterile objects, but they have Kedusha, and they have specialization and special function, and they shouldn't just be seen as a collection of Beis HaMikdash utensils, but each should be savored, and each should be appreciated. And now that I give the shiur and I'm reading the summary of Rav Lichtenstein's shiur, to me, the next word that comes into my mind by association is appreciating complexity of people and complexity of life. Once you treat people as individuals rather than collectives, then your next step is to be aware that each individual has their own life, their own values, their own perspective. And, of course, that yields a complex view of your world rather than a homogenized, simplistic, collectivist view where everyone adheres to the same principles. So Rav Aaron didn't just associate the word tifkod, as it appears regarding counting human beings, with the word Hashem pakad esara, when Hashem remembers the needs, either the rewards that people deserve or the punishment they deserve, but even extended it to objects. And again, the next word that in my mind crops up when I think about Rav Lichtenstein is mindfulness, that he was so mindful of individuals. He didn't get lost in large scenes. I remember at weddings where he used to pay special attention to older people who tend to get lost in the shuffle and the frenetic energy of a wedding. And then finally, in the end of the Sicha, he talked about the fact that mitzvos are called by that phrase, Pikudei Hashem Yesharim, Misam Chelev, that's a Perek Yutes, which we recite Shabbos morning, or Ne'amonim Kol Pikudav, in Teilim Kuf Yud Aleph, Ki Pikudecha Netzarti, Kuf Yutes. So if mitzvos are also called Pikudav, so it's not just people who have that special relationship with Hashem or with the person counting them, or Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash that are given individual attention and we're meant to relate to them and to savor them and to appreciate each of their functions individually. But mitzvos, and Rav Aaron said, mitzvos is an opportunity for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create a relationship with us, the same way that Vashem Pakad as Sarah reflects Hashem maintaining the relationship with Sarah, fulfilling the responsibilities of that relationship to Sarah, or to Am Yisrael and Mitzrayim. So if Hashem delivers pikudim to us, then ultimately a mitzvah is not a burden or just a task to be dispatched and fulfilled, but it's a chance to engage in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same way that Sarah's pikuda was receiving a relationship from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, the main theme of this shiur is not dramatically revolutionary, but the manner in which he integrated so many different areas where this one word appeared and turned a mitzvah into a relationship builder and saw Klei HaMikdash as items that we should relate to and not just utilize, I think was fascinating and really lent depth to this whole concept of personalization.